And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, it's great to be with you, and you know, I want to thank everyone again who's written me, encouraged me, and given me a lot of advice about my heart attack and how to successfully navigate the future over it. And I'm doing a lot better, a lot better. I'm not fully up to par, but I expect to get there. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate each of you. And I just feel like we're all one family. We really are. I consider you my brother, my sister. And, you know, we're all the family. And we're going to be here right here together. We're not going to back down. We're going to keep going forward. And, you know, I think the powers of darkness, and I call them powers, but you know what I mean. They're subordinate to God. But, you know, they have tried to shut us up, to stop us, to do whatever they can. I mean, I've had FBI agents, oh, numerous ones, not for some years now, but a number of them would visit us, I guess just to let us know they're still there. And then, of course, the IRS audited us for 3 or 4 years and harassed us. And I've had, oh, my goodness, everybody from, you know, Muslims to Jews to rabbis. And, oh, they've done everything they can to shut us down. But they haven't been able to. You know, we just keep right on going. And let me tell you why we stay, I guess you'd call it, in business. Why we're still here. After all these years, we're still here, folks. It's because we tell the truth. It's real simple. Somebody said to me, why haven't you been shut up? Why haven't they killed you? You know, people refer to Clinton's murder list. The Clintons, of course, have a kill list. And, oh, it's up 60-some-odd people they've murdered. Now, I'm not saying they murdered each and every one of those. Probably some of them just died of natural causes, were put on the list. But you know the kind of people I mean. You know, Vince Foster and all the others. Of course they murder these people. They're a bunch of murdering thieves and criminals. Why haven't they stopped me then? I mean, I've written books like Big Sister is Watching You about Hillary Clinton. I've done all kind of videos and I did one video entitled Hillary's Hellcats. Why haven't they been able to stop us? I think it's very simple. You know, I believe it's because we tell the truth. We don't go with any, you know, far-fetched theories or conspiracy nonsense. There's a lot of conspiracy out there, believe me. But you know, I did I think it was a two-volume, two CDs you could buy it, about the principles of conspiracy science. Oh yes, there's a science to conspiracy. Because conspiracies have been around and have lasted, well, since the Garden of Eden. That was the first great conspiracy. Of course, even before that one, there was a conspiracy against God in heaven. And the devil was able to get 1/3 of the angels. But of course, I suspect they are pretty sorry for what they've done. But it's too late. Their minds are set in concrete. They're evil. They're blatantly grotesque. You know, that's what happens to so many people. You know, God will work with you for a long, long time. I appreciate so much he worked with me. Boy, he worked with me. And finally, he brought me back. That was many, many years ago. But I'll tell you, my friends, has he done that with you too? Has he brought you back from the brink of falling into absolute catastrophe? Well, he did me many years ago, and I appreciate that. And that's what God has done to so many of us. We've been brought back. You know, Paul said that he named a bunch of the kinds of people that wouldn't go to heaven. You know, whoremongers, liars, murderers, thieves. He named them all. The apostle Paul did. These are not going to get to heaven, but he said, which some of you once were. Oh boy. He's talking to the church. Some of you once were these things, but you're not anymore. You know, I was telling the story of Philip Morrow just recently. Philip Morrow, a wonderful Christian man back in the 1800s. And up into the early 1900s, he was a friend of Thomas Edison. Philip Morrow was a famous lawyer, and, you know, he came to know Jesus, and he was at this church, and he was ministering to this guy. This guy was really praying for God's deliverance. And Philip Morrow was a baby Christian himself. He had just come to know Jesus, and he went to the man, and he bent over, and he began to pray with him, and they were praying there in church, and then the man looked up at Philip Morrow and said, you're a smoker, aren't you? You know, the devil can speak through a lot of people, but I believe that may have been God. This man was seeking God. He was seeking help, and there was Philip Morrow to help him. Well, Philip Morrow did smoke. You know, back then it was very popular to smoke cigars and to smoke pipes. And it seemed like all the rich people, they really did it. You see all these pictures, you know, sort of like, who's the famous detective, the British detective? Sherlock, okay, Jerry here over at the controls, he's got it. Sherlock Holmes, you know, he had that pipe. You never really thought of him as smoking, but he always had that pipe. Looked so much more wise, didn't he? Actually, you're pretty stupid if you smoke anything, but anyway, that was what they had back then. And Philip Morrow was shocked. Here this guy, you know, looked up at him and said, you're a smoker, aren't you? He smelled it on his breath. And Philip Morrow very quickly came back and said, no, I'm not a smoker. I once was, but I'm not anymore. And he never smoked again the rest of his life. Oh, my, my. You know, sometimes it just takes that to shock you into realization. Maybe that's happened. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, you know, it could be that you're into pornography and something's going to shake you. Boy, they're going to get you out of that. Or, you know, you just tell a few too many lies and suddenly somebody says to you, you know, you're just lied. Uh-oh, you're caught. Or sometimes God just says to you, you know, that's not right. I remember Glenn Campbell. He was into drugs and alcohol and sexual sin and all kind of things. And he went home to back during a holiday. And there was the mom and dad. His mom and dad were real good Christians, you know, sort of backwoods people from Arkansas. And his mom said very softly to him, son, you know, you're not doing right. And you know, boy. That really affected Glenn Campbell. Son, you're not doing right. She didn't deliver a big old address. She didn't go into him with all the details. She didn't sit down with him and spend 2 or 3 hours with him. She didn't have some counselor, some psychologist, some psychiatrist come and waste their time. She simply said, son, you know you're not doing right. And Glenn Campbell said that woke him up. His mom saying, you know you're not doing right. He knew he wasn't doing right. He knew what was wrong in his life. Well, God, no doubt, sent her with that word to him. And that's what it took. He woke up. He woke up. He got out of that lifestyle. He became a new man thanks to his mom. I've had a lot of moms that have changed people's lives. A lot of dads have too. Just that little word of advice, just that little bit of information, it can really change lives. Well, let's talk about secrets today, should we? Oh man, we've got some secrets for you. You know, somebody sent me this. a precious Christian sister. She calls herself Lady Bird. But anyway, she sent this to him. It's very interesting. You know, Hillary Rodham Clinton absolutely is a big liar. Boy, she's a liar. And she's a thief. Now, you know about the email scandal where she claimed that these emails, you know, first said they were about yoga and her daughter's wedding, and then suddenly there are all these thousands of emails that are about the favors that, you know, she's going to do for donors or people that gave them money. Of course, they've got over $2 billion dollars in the Clinton Foundation, so-called. And most of these foundations are just total. Come on, folks. They set up these rich people set up these foundations to escape taxes. They do. The foundations, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie, all of them are into all this liberalism and all this globalist junk. Well, that's what that was aiming at. And you know, only 10% of the money went for charitable causes, so to speak, like AIDS prevention. Sure, it went to the homosexuals. Well, of course, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Hillary is a lesbian. Everybody knows that. You mean you don't know about it? Are you sitting there shaking your head saying, oh, what is that all about? Of course she's a lesbian. She lives with Huma Abedin. She sleeps with Huma Abedin, a Muslim. A radical Muslim at that. That's her lover. Now, Hillary wants to be president. She wants to be president. But can she be president? Well, you know, it all matters on whether or not we apply the law. Now, Michael Mukasey is a former United States Attorney General. Michael Mukasey. He was asked by MSNBC, is Hillary qualified to be president? Because her private email server was illegal. Did the message that she got and she deleted disqualify her from holding any federal office? Mukasey said, yes, she's not qualified to be president. Now, you know, this is, we're now, you know, arguing over what Donald Trump said about immigration. Now, he said, I'm going to apply the law. Whatever the law says is what we're going to do. And everybody goes, oh, these poor illegal immigrants coming into America. Oh, we can't be a law and order society. We've got to let them stay here. We've got to. What is that all about, folks? Either we have the laws or we don't. And the law should apply to each and every person. Or we should change the law. But you can't just say, okay, we got this law and we're not going to use it. We're not going to do it. You can't do that. If you do that, then there's thousands of other people going to say, why put me in jail? Why apply the law to me? Yes, I broke the law, but who cares? We don't pay attention to that law, do we? Why should the person who sells a bit of pot to somebody go to prison? Why should the person who robs a 7-Eleven convenience store, why should they go to prison when other laws are broken but nobody pays any attention to them? The illegal immigrant has broken the law. Now, it may be that they came here for good reasons, but that reason was not exactly the best because they broke the law. Now, there are billions of people on this globe. There's some 7.5 billion, 7.5 billion. And I'm quite confident in saying that probably about 2 billion of them would like to come to the United States. You know, they're poor in their country, whether it's Sri Lanka or India or, you know, Burma, wherever they're at, or Syria, Iraq. They want to come to America. They want the money. They'd like to come here for the prosperity. But our laws say you can't come here without applying, and, you know, it's not going to happen. And so they're stuck where they're at. And that's the way life is, folks. You know, in the Bible, it tells us to be happy with whatever condition we're in, even if you're a slave. They say, oh, no, that's not good. You mean you got to be happy as a slave? Now, folks, many of you were poor when you were born. very poor. I get letters. I know. I've visited the places in America. I've seen the circumstances people live in. I don't like going through West Virginia and seeing all of those little mobile homes and all those terrible places where the coal miners used to live. Now the coal miners don't have their jobs, and they're having to put out their hands for welfare from the government, and they're living like, I mean, folks, they're living poor. They're poor. Well, you know what, my friends? You can be a good Christian as a poor man. In fact, I think you're better off as a poor person. If you live in a one-bedroom apartment, you can be a fine Christian. You can be a happy Christian. I mean, you can be better off than the person who has a 99-room mansion. How many of these rich people are just miserable? Seeing a cover of a magazine on a newsstand the other day of some rich actor. I can't even remember the man's name, but he was very, very rich. Everybody admires him. What's his problem? Well, he's depressed. He's depressed, it said. Because he's about 40 years old and he knows he's going to die someday. And he's depressed about that. He's depressed. He's rich. Everybody loves his music or whatever. In fact, I think it was Bruce Springsteen. But he's depressed. He's not happy. We can go out and buy any kind of car he wants, a Jaguar, a Cadillac. He can buy 10 Rolls Royces. Any mansion, anyway, he can fly anywhere in the world. He's got his own aircraft, of course. Anytime he has a big concert, thousands show up. But he's not happy. He's miserable because he knows someday he's going to die. Ah, yes, the human condition, my friends. All of us are going to die someday. I know I'm going to die. And you know what? The real question is, where are you going to go when you die? What happens to you then? Well, I depend on the Bible. It says it's appointed. It's appointed. You've got destiny ahead of you, my friends. It's appointed for a man once to die. Afterward, the judgment. That's it. But if you know Jesus Christ, you've already been judged. I've already been judged. And Jesus found me guilty of all those things. And he pardoned me. I've got a royal pardon, my friends. Do you have a pardon? Think about that. I've been pardoned. I've already been judged. Have you been judged? You see, I think Springsteen is living every day in judgment. He's worried about it. He's being judged every day. But he hasn't repented. He's well, he better worry. He better worry a lot. Because once he's dead, my friends, he can't take it with him. He can't take any of those things with him. He can't take his Rolls Royce. He can't take the adoring crowds with him. He's going to meet Jesus Christ, and he's going to be sent to wherever he deserves. Well, okay. Now, what about Hillary Clinton? Listen to this. Michael Mukasey, former attorney general, he pointed out one federal law. One federal law. I want you to think of this, my friends. Title 18, Section 2017. This is it. Now, this is the law that applies to Hillary Clinton. Title 18, Section 2017. Now, here's what it says. Quote, whoever willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, or destroys, or attempts to do so, or with intent to do so, takes and carries away any record, proceeding, map, book, paper, document, or other thing, filed or deposited with any clerk or officer of any court of the United States, or in any public office, or with any judicial or public officer of the United States, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. B, whoever, now get this, my friends, whoever, having the custody of any such record, proceeding, map, book, document, paper, or other thing, willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, falsifies, or destroys the same shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both, and, get this now, and shall forfeit his office and be disqualified from holding any office under the United States. Did you get that? This is what the law says. If you have custody of any record, whether it's a map, a book, a document, a paper, or any other thing, if you conceal or remove it, if you destroy it or falsify it, you must forfeit your office. And you're disqualified from holding any office under the United States. Shall forfeit his office and be disqualified from holding any office under the United States. Shouldn't voters know that? Why do they say the polls show about half the people want Hillary Clinton for president? Don't they know? She's already disqualified. She disqualified herself. She took these records without any permission. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of documents. Many classified. But it doesn't really matter whether they were classified or not. Any record. She must be sent to prison for up to 3 years and be disqualified from holding any office. She's not qualified to be president. This is from the Cornell Law Library, Cornell University. Wow. This is just one federal law. Now, again, it's Title 18, Section 2017. This is the U.S. Code. Listen, folks. There's no question that she's guilty. Thousands of emails are missing. She's responsible for them, but she's already said, I carried them out. I had them on my private server. Where they went, I don't know. It doesn't matter where they're at, friends. I don't care if she flushed them down the commode. I don't care if she used this bleach bit and destroyed them. They were there, and she did it. She took them out of the State Department to her home. And then she had custody of them. She shouldn't not have had custody. If there was even one, it doesn't matter that there were thousands. She only needed to do one, just one little document. If she was Secretary of State, she could not take out even one document out of that office. It did not belong to her. It belonged to the office of the Secretary of State. And she created thousands of documents, and she received thousands more documents. And she admits they were destroyed. I don't care whether they were destroyed or not. She took them. If she took them, she's not qualified for all. Why do we have to question this? The same thing for Donald Trump if he becomes president. These 11 million, actually he says there's probably 20 or 30 or 40 million in America. I agree with him. Illegal aliens. They should be deported. I feel sorry for any person, whether from India or Pakistan or Mexico. That's poor. I know I've been very poor in my life. You know, I went in the Air Force without any college. Why did I do that? Why didn't I go to college? Why didn't I join some fraternity? Yeah, why didn't I laze around in college and take 6 or 8 years to graduate? I didn't do that because I didn't have any money. My dad didn't have any money. I did what I had to do. I joined the service. I was very proud to be in the Air Force. And the Air Force had a program. They paid like 2/3 of my tuition. But I had to go to school nights. And I went nights for about 10 years to get a degree. And then I got that degree and I went on to get another degree. And then I went on to teach at 3 universities. How did I do that? I did it because I wanted it bad. I wanted it badly. And folks, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton, she's a criminal. And she needs to go to prison. She needs to pay for what she's done. Now, maybe she is paying. Maybe these coughing fits that she's having. Could be. That's God. Could be. I'm not saying it is, but it could be. You know, God, he takes care of our bodies. I don't think I had a heart attack because it was some accident. I don't think it was just inadvertent. I believe God knew I was going to have a heart attack. He wanted to make sure I was on the right road, that continued on it. And let me tell you, folks, that heart attack got my attention. It sure did. I'm not sorry because I had a heart attack. I mean, I'm a human being. Those things happen. I have a body. If you're a sick person, I'd really feel sorry for you. Now, frankly, I can still walk around. I'm a little weak, but I can, you know, I mean, I get around. I need a lot more rest. I feel sorry for people that are in wheelchairs, that have lost limbs, maybe fighting for America in these wars. I do. I really feel sorry for them. But my friends, as long as you have breath, as long as you have life, live it for Jesus Christ. You won't regret it. Hey, how about this global warming expedition? You see, they keep saying we have global warming. Well, I understand that Black Lives Matter closed down some airport over in London. Black Lives Matter demonstrators. They said they did it because of global warming. Now, it's not that global warming caused their demonstration. They're demonstrating because the white people say that there is global warming. Now, these blacks, they're clever enough. They know that there's no global warming. It's all pure nonsense. It's a white myth. It's a white hoax. Because these white liberals want to spend all this money and tax all these people to pay for something called global warming, but there is no global warming. And the blacks know it. And Black Lives Matter, the group, they're crazy about other things, but they're pretty sensible about global warming. They say it's a hoax. They say that black people are getting shafted because the white people are into global warming. They say it's a nonsense. It's nonsense. There is no global warming, say Black Lives Matter. And guess what? The liberals are stumped. You see, the liberals, the progressives, the leftists, they started Black Lives Matter. And George Soros, you know, the Hungarian Jew, he's given millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter. But Black Lives Matter turns around and bites them. That's what happens, folks. You start a satanic group and it turns around and bites you. It should bite you. It says there's no global warming. Well, there's not. Now, and listen, this is a news item. An expedition to the North Pole intended to measure the effects of global warming ground to a halt this month when the scientist ship got blocked by ice packs near Murmansk, Russia, reports reveal. Now, they were hoping to prove that the ice at the North Pole was melting, but the ship got stuck in the ice. There's more ice than they expected. Now, the global warming ship, the scientific ship, is stuck in the ice. It's exactly the opposite of what they hope for. I mean, they're hoping for global warming just to get out of there. If not, they're going to have to be rescued by helicopters or whatever. They're stuck in the ice. That's what, you see, your little theories, your man-made theories of global warming don't quite hack it. You need to read the Bible. You know, it says the Bible is going to be season after season after season, just like it has always been. Until Jesus returns, you're going to have fall, you're going to have winter, you're going to have summer. You're never going to have global warming, though. No. All right. We're going to go away for just a few minutes. Stay with us, though. We got a lot. How about the magic of love? This man fell for another man. Could that be love? That's what they say. We got a lot more. Portland School says that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that's white privilege. That's white stuff. They can't have that in the schools anymore. The kids can't. No. That's white man's work. Ooh. Well, we'll be right back after this brief message. I'm Tex Morris. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Morris. Have you got the latest book that I've written? I hope you do. You know, God has given me book after book to write. And I've sat down, I've applied myself to these books. And, you know, the research that I've discovered is just just incredible. Well, I found that Judaism is the most colossal devil religion ever. It's based, you see, on the Talmud and the Kabbalah, two book systems that are devilish and evil. You know, Jesus accused the Jews. He said, that you're serpents, he said. You're a generation of vipers. Wow. He said, you have for your religion the traditions of men. Well, I thought they had the Old Testament. That came from God, didn't it? I mean, God talked to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and all of the great prophets of the Old Testament, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah. That was the religion of the Old Testament. Isn't that what the Jews worship? That's what the churches of today tell us, isn't it? Well, Jesus told us something else. He said, your religion, you Jews, is of man-made traditions. Wow. I didn't know that. You see, like so many people, I didn't know that Jesus really meant it. Then some years ago, I suddenly discovered that Jesus meant just what he said. He told the Jews, your religion, you have for your religion, man-made traditions. And that's exactly what they have. They don't, you know, they said, Abraham is our father. Oh, yes, Abraham. But Jesus said, if you loved Abraham, if you knew Abraham, if he was your father, you would know who I am. You would love me. I was with Abraham. I was before Abraham. Wow, that was too much for the Jews. Well, you're just a young man. How could you have been with Abraham? How could you be before him? Well, you must be Beelzebub the devil. Oh, boy. Must be Beelzebub the devil? It seems to me, you know, they talk about crossing a red line. That's crossing a red line. When you tell Jesus you're a Beelzebub the devil, they were wrong about Jesus, but he was right about them. Now, 2,000 years later, here it is, with 2016 going on 17. And we find that the Jewish religion is exactly what Jesus said it was. It's of man-made traditions. They don't believe or they don't revere. They don't worship in the Old Testament way. They don't believe in any of that. They say, we have the law. No. The apostles said, you don't have the law. You don't obey the law. None of you obey the law. You see, they say, we have the law. No, they don't have the law. If they had the law, they obeyed it, then they would be going to heaven. But they don't. They have man-made traditions. Now, friends, I've read the Talmud, and you know, none of that is the law of God. It's a law according to these devil men. Well, I've just torn off the veil. You know, God said, take the veil and tear it off. Tear it off. Show that the Jews are of their father, the devil. That's what I told you about them, and I told you the truth. And you know, the rabbis now confess that Jesus was correct. I did a newsletter a couple of months ago. Here's the headline of my Power of Prophecy newsletter. It says, rabbis agree with Jesus. Their God is Satan, the holy serpent. Huh? What is that all about? Rabbis agree with Jesus? This is the top rabbis in Judaism. This is the chief rabbis. They say Jesus was right. Our God is Satan, the holy serpent. They just never hope that they always believe that Gentiles would never find out about this. But you know, Jesus said there's nothing that's going to be kept secret. Everything's going to be revealed. Someday, it will be revealed. Jesus says what you whisper about in the closets is going to be a broadcast. It's going to be shouted from the housetops. And that's what I'm doing. I did this book, holy serpent of the Jews. I shouted it from the housetops. The Jews don't like it. But they have to agree with Jesus. Their God is Satan, the holy serpent. Now, pastors don't like this. They say, Tex, how can you say this about Judaism? How can you say this about the rabbis? Why, Judaism is a lovely, lovely religion. No, you're full of baloney. It's an evil religion. It's a demonic religion. It's full of demons. And their religion is man-made. Man-made. Isaiah 59, Isaiah told them this what was what. You see, Isaiah was of God. Isaiah told the Jews, your hands are defiled with blood. It's Isaiah 59. Your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. You hatch cockatrice. That's flying serpent eggs. Wow. You weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. I want you to think of that. That's powerful. That's Isaiah 59. But the Jews hated Isaiah. I want you to read about Isaiah. Read about it. Read about Isaiah. Find out what happened to him. The Jews despised him. He told them exactly what they were. They were of their father, the devil, and he told them about it. They weren't happy. They killed him. Jesus said they've killed all the prophets. What did they do to Isaiah? They said, we're going to teach you. You said these horrible things about the rabbis, Isaiah, and now you're going to pay for it. They took him. They put him in the cavity of a tree. And they cut him in half. They sawed his body in half. They sawed Isaiah's body in half. They killed him. Just like they killed Jesus. Because Isaiah told them, what you have done, you crush the eggs and what comes out? Serpents. Serpents. And Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. Boy. That's either true or it's not, friends. Did Jesus tell the truth? I believe that there was nothing out of Jesus' lips that ever was a lie. It's just true. You don't have to trust anything I've written. You can say Tex Morris, he's all wet. He doesn't know anything. He's got these college degrees, but they're all just worthless. And they probably are. I admit that. But you must believe Jesus. The book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. Please, it's just $20. Send $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. Ask for Holy Serpent of the Jews. $25. Call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Go to our website, powerofprophecy.com or texmars.com, TEXEMARRS.com. Or you can write to us at Power of Prophecy or just write to me, Tex, at 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now we return to our regular program. This is a volume of secrets. I'm Tex Mars. Hey, Harrison Wofford was a Democrat, naturally, senator from Pennsylvania. He was a big friend of Martin Luther King, which I understand when I tell you what I'm going to tell you in just a moment, you'll know about this. He's retired now, this Harris Wofford. He's 90 years old, but he's getting married. His groom, his mate, is only 50 years younger, Matthew Charlton. Finding love again with a man, said the New York Times. Oh, yes. Harris Wofford was always a homosexual. But he kept it from the people back then. It wasn't popular. So if you're from Pennsylvania, know that your senator, Harris Wofford, the guy you voted over and made him again and again in the senator, was a big queer. And now he's living the life. He's 90 years old and he's got him a 50-year-old shack-up mate. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. That's part of the magic of love, he says. Oh, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy. By the way, this guy was married to a woman all those years. He was married to a woman. As so many homosexuals, they marry a woman just for looks. Don't you know that poor woman must have suffered? She must have suffered. Hey, meanwhile, Pope Francis, he's given permission to give a papal knighthood to Rabbi Arthur Schneer of Manhattan. Now, it seems that Schneer has done all kind of good works. Oh, yes. And he's going to become a Knight of St. Sylvester. A Knight of St. Sylvester. You know, Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York was present. Now, other knights of this order have been Bob Hope. Yes, the Bob Hope. You know, the comedian. And Oskar Schindler, the German industrialist credited with saving the many Jews' lives from the Nazis. But Pope Francis, you know, the same guy who said, who am I to judge when asked about a homosexual? He said, who am I to judge? Well, you are an idiot, so you could not judge. That's true. That's true. Don't judge, Pope. Pope Francis, don't judge him. No, sir. Because you're not a Christian. You can't judge. But in any case, they gave this honor, this knighthood to this New York rabbi. Hey, that's what they do now. Isn't that fascinating? And here's pictures of it. Oh, they're pinning on his. Oh, man. He's a papal knight now. A papal knight, the rabbi. Meanwhile, in Portland Public Schools now say that peanut butter and jelly sandwich are racist. And they've told parents, do not let your children bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to school. We will confiscate these items, these racist items. Now, Veronese Gutierrez, she's the principal of Harvey Scott School in Northeast Portland, Oregon, says it's a racist concept. That's right. Do you make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Then you are a racist white. Woo. Americans eat peanut butter and jelly. Do you have anything like that? She says. Let me tell you, it's wrong. Now, she told this to her students as part of an indoctrination program known as Courageous Conversations. Courageous Conversations. She says she wants to stamp out racism among her students, at least those who are white. The other ones, you know, the browns and the blacks, they're not racist. Only the whites. She's blind to her own racism, folks. She's blind to her own racism. But she thinks she's found it in these white students. She says, if educators, this is her words now, can understand their own white privilege, they can change their teaching practices and boost the students' performance. Now, isn't that great? I think it's wonderful. No more peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I don't care if it's strawberry, I don't care if it's blackberry or whatever kind of jam it is. Oh, my goodness. These poor little kids. Those poor little kids. She says, why can't you have tacos or maybe torta or pita? Because they like peanut butter and jelly, you idiot. But anyway. Meanwhile, Neil Farage, the hero over in Great Britain, he was the guy that started the campaign to take Britain out of the European community. And the Europeans voted for it. And they lied about it. All the polls said, oh, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Oh, yes, the people of Great Britain want to stay in the European Union. You're going to lose this vote. They knew they were lying. The pollsters lied. The people voted, and of course, they voted to get out. And now Britain is leaving the European Union. Neil Farage has come to America and say, you Americans have Donald Trump. You know, in Britain, they had Neil Farage. We left the European Union. Now you Americans need to leave globalism too. Hillary Clinton, that's what she is, a globalist. Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, George Bush, they're all a bunch of globalists. You want to get out? Vote for Donald Trump. Good deal. Good deal. Well, yes, this is something. The National Institutes of Health, with Obama's approval, are now, they're giving, okay, they've removed the restrictions on the develop of new hybrid life forms. Hybrid life forms, animal-human hybrids. So they're taking a pig and a human and mixing them together. You're going to get half pig, half human. I thought they had a lot of those already in Washington, D.C., didn't you, Jerry? Half pigs and half humans? In Congress, yeah, they're all over the place. This has evidently been going on a long time, this genetic engineering. They've got pig humans in, or maybe they're half wolf and half men. I don't really know what they are, but they're going to splice the genetic materials from different sources. Now, this is like science fiction. It's like a horror science fiction film. You think it's a pig, but it's a man. You think it's a man, but it's a pig. Genetically modified babies, that's a big thing. Now the Jews love this. Abraham Foxman said maybe we can get people, we can genetically engineer people that don't hate the Jews, that love the Jews. See, no matter what the Jews do, no matter that the Jews run around killing people and murdering them and marauding and torturing the Palestinians, all that, we will still love them because our brains tell us to. Because they're going to genetically engineer your brains. I need some music right now, Jerry. You like the, what's that, Twilight Zone? Boy. I'm telling you, folks, this is true. The U.S. government plans to create chimeras, animal-human hybrids, and genetic engineering laboratories. It's incredible. It's just incredible. Meanwhile, in Germany, they're hiding their Bibles. Now, there's not many people that read their Bibles in Germany. You know, the churches are pretty well died off. That's probably why they voted for Angela Merkel, a big lesbian. She is a lesbian. Did you know that, folks? She's a lesbian. They voted for her, made her president, or chancellor, they call it. She's given them 2 million immigrants, refugees. She says, we're going to bring in 3 million more. The people are furious about that. Well, they voted for her. That's what you get. If Americans vote for Hillary Clinton, that's what we're going to get. Now, the Christians in Germany, though, they don't really deserve this. And I understand that they're now hiding their Bibles. The Muslims are threatening the Christians. If they see a Christian with a Bible in public, they're attacking them. That's what we're going to have in America. You go to church on Sunday, you better hide your Bible. While you're on the way in your car, it may be pulled over by a bunch of Muslims. They're angry. They saw a Bible in your car. You're a Christian. You may have to die for that. You say, this is crazy, Tex. You're making this up. I am telling you the truth, folks. This is happening in Germany. People are being attacked. And the government is warning people, don't show your Bibles in public. Hide your Bibles. Isn't that incredible? The government brings in all of these refugees, these Muslims, and then they tell the people, dress a certain way. If you wear your skirt a little bit too short, you'll be raped by these Muslim men. And you should be raped, I suppose you're saying. Boy, it's incredible, isn't it? Man, meanwhile, here in America, the Pew poll, that's an opinion poll. Listen to this. The Pew poll says half of Americans who have left their church no longer believe in God. Now, 1/4 of the nation, 25%, have no affiliation with any religion, according to a new survey. 25% don't believe in a God. 49% of people have left their church and religion because they, quote unquote, don't believe. 49% of the people, only 51% believe now. Now, they used to say that, oh, America's a Christian nation. like 90% of the people go to church. Well, they don't anymore. 49% left their church and religion because they, quote, don't believe. They say they believe in something called common sense. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in miracles. They're giving up on God. Boy, you know, I understand that. I mean, when a 90-year-old former senator marries his 50-year-old lover, homosexuals, when Hillary Clinton is living with a Muslim radical, Huma Abedin, who lies and cheats and steals and is a criminal and broke the law, we've shown you that. The Attorney General Michael Mukasey pointed that out. And Trump is only barely ahead in the polls, if at all. 50% of the American people are fine with a lesbian. And her lesbian lover is a radical Muslim. In fact, Huma Abedin was editor-in-chief of a radical Muslim journal. Goodness gracious. That's America. Now, I've told you for a long time, friends, there are two Americas. There's several, really, but there's two main Americas. There's the Christian traditional America, and then there's the other people. You know the other people. Trump has pointed them out. The media. 98% of the media are liberal leftists. They want Hillary. They want to put down the Christian religion. They're happy for the Muslims to come into America. They want millions more Muslims. Come in. Come in more and more and more. Why? Because they want to see the end of Christianity. And chief among them are the Jews in America. Gilad Atzmon, A-T-Z-M-O-N, is a jazz artist. He wrote an article recently. Now, Gilad Atzmon is a Jew, but he doesn't believe like the other Jews do. He knows how evil the Jews are. His own race, he said they're evil. And he wrote an article recently, and I want to read you a little bit of it. He talked about a Jewish magazine called Forward, And there's an article in there by a Jew named J. Michelson. And it talked about this election between Hillary Clinton, who is, by the way, the champion of the Jews. All the Jews love her. And, of course, Trump. Now, this J. Michelson, who is a contributing editor for the Forward magazine, he doesn't like the Goyim, the Gentiles. And he makes it plain that Jews are not white people. Now, do you get that? They may look white, but they're not white, he says. They're different. They're in a different class. They've got their own DNA. They're special. They're of godly DNA. They're chosen by God. Their DNA is separate. Now, the scientists don't go along with that, but the Jews don't care what the scientists say. They don't care about what the scientists say. Their DNA is special, they say. Now, this magazine article by Michelson, here's what it says. As is well known, this is Michelson speaking. As is well known, Donald Trump's core supporters are white, undereducated men who have been left behind by technology, globalization, and the attendant erosion of America's manufacturing base. Okay, so that's his core supporters, he says. That's what Michelson says. Remember now, Trump is supported by white, undereducated men who have been left behind by technology, globalization, and the attendant. That means it's always there. It's always eroded. When you have globalization and technology, you have the erosion of America's manufacturing base. And that's good. Yeah, that's good according to the Jews. Because they're making money from all these jobs, American jobs going overseas, you see. Moreover, says Michelson, their days, now he's talking about Trump supporters, their days of white supremacy are coming to a close. And they're mad as hell about it. Is that true? Are you a white supremacist? Are you mad as hell because your days of white supremacy are coming to a close? Now think about that. Here's this Jew who says he's not a white man. He's a Jew. Yeah, uh-huh. He's labeling half the people are white. And we're all white supremacists. We're rabid racists, according to him. And you're all undereducated. Doesn't matter if you have a doctorate degree. Doesn't matter what you have. You're a white undereducated man. You're a white supremacist. Trump supporters are the losers of the new economy. And you're a loser of multiculturalism on the other. So the new economy has done you in. And multiculturalism. Of course, he's a Jew, so he's not a multiculturalist. He's a racist. He sticks with his race. He's not a multiculturalist. Now, Trump's supporters, he says, crave a radical change. They just don't like what's going on. And he said, they're losers. They're a bunch of bullies. The losers always become bullies, he says. So you're a loser. You're a white, uneducated person, undereducated. That's why you're for Trump. Now, what is he going to say if Trump wins big? Well, it looks to me like Trump has got about 90%, they say, of the Republicans voting for him. So all the Republicans are stupid, undereducated, goyim. Why is it this Jew can throw all these insults at us? But if you throw an insult back at him, well, you're an anti-Semite. You're a bigot. You're a bad, bad man. And I could tell you more about what this guy says about us, but why waste my time? Why waste my time? He's another one. His rabbi says his God is Satan. The Holy Spirit, because I don't know about Michelson. He may not have any God. If he doesn't have any God, then he's got Satan, the Holy Serpent. If he has a Jewish God, then, of course, that's the Holy Serpent, too. That's sort of the way it is, isn't it? Well, been great being with you today. We've only got another minute here. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. Appreciate all your letters, your cards, your emails. And we're going to be right here. We're going to be doing God's work. And, you know, it's fun to do God's work, isn't it? Friends, I appreciate that you're a part of this ministry. I appreciate that you love us so much that you're willing to give to this ministry. And so many of you have. You know, I received a bunch of letters from the orphans out at the children's home. And boy, I mean, next week I'm gonna, if I have time, I want to read you some of those letters. These are kids, and we bought them back to school clothes. You know, think about that. That's so important to kids, having back to school clothes. Think how proud you are when you wear new clothes to your first day of school. And they're orphans. They're already in a bad situation. People probably look down on them and such. There they are in their nice new clothes, bought by you. That's right. You helped them to buy new clothes, and they were able to buy school supplies. Now they have school supplies for themselves, a backpack. They have, you know, the pencils, the paper, the crayons, and all that because of you, because you gave. You see how much good you're doing, folks? And I believe when you give, you're giving to God's work. Jesus knows what you do. I know what you do. And I want you to know how important it is. I just thank you so much. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Please tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.